Hey everybody, this is Scott Bernstein, and welcome to the Jambase Podcast, a partner of Osiris Media, the place for music-related podcasts and more. On this episode, we'll hear my chat with Luke Miller of Lotus. Luke has his debut Luke the Knife solo album, Disco Nap, due this spring. Additionally, Lotus has a new EP entitled Citrus, due on April 6th. Stay tuned for my chat with Luke after a few words about this episode's sponsor.
This episode is sponsored by Music Benefactors. Music Benefactors is the go-to funding source for the music industry. Music Benefactors is an SEC-registered investment platform created to solve the funding problems of recording artists, music entrepreneurs, and independent businesses by enabling them to partner with fans and investors who love music. Music Benefactors structures favorable funding solutions so that fans and investors share the income that the projects generate. Musicians, indie labels, music publishers, venues, producers, and other music businesses use the platform to connect with fans and investors that fund projects and fulfill capital needs. Fans have always driven the music business. Music Benefactors platform enables fans to take larger roles in helping artists succeed and good music to be made. Fans are providing the capital, which allows independent artists and music businesses to compete and thrive in an industry dominated by enormous corporations. Music Benefactors offers venues COVID survival financing, cash flow friendly debt to survive the pandemic with no payments due until concerts resume. And once concerts do resume, Music Benefactors can help support touring expenses and artists are able to finally get back on the road. Founding members of the new venture, The Latin Dead, announced the inception of their equity crowdfund. Launched via Music Benefactors, The Latin Dead is the first band ever to issue equity to the public. The Latin Dead, fully appreciating the Grateful Dead experience, aims to convey the dynamic and unpredictable nature of Grateful Dead performances while initiating and fostering the emotional response of the listeners. Investment in The Latin Dead provides an opportunity for anyone to become an executive producer to support, profit, and be part of the exciting new pursuit, fusing the music of the Grateful Dead with that of Latin jazz, thereby inaugurating a novel musical marriage. The Latin Dead's mission is to expand musical boundaries by putting the Dead's music into a new context and truly garner the support of the ever-faithful and vast Grateful Dead community. The initial funding is essential for The Latin Dead, as they intend to bring in world-renowned musicians, arrangers, promoters, booking agents, and advisors to reasonably quickly become profitable and thrive so that they can become a sustainable working band. Given their experience and high confidence that the music is timeless, marketable, and will be sought after, they truly believe this offer will be well-deserved. Learn more at musicbenefactors.com and latindead.com.
We're currently up to round three of the Jambase March Madness Live Covers Tournament. March Madness Live Covers Tournament is powered by the Jambase Live Video Archive, which features over 100,000 live music videos that are easy to find, filter, and watch all in one convenient place. Jambase.com/videos. The tournament started with 32 competitors, and now we're down to the Elite Eight. Voting is open now and closes on Sunday night for round three. That's Sunday night, March 21st at 11:59 p.m. PT. Some of the matchups include Tedeschi Trucks Band's cover of Jimi Hendrix's Little Wing featuring special guest Trey Anastasio versus Humphries McGee's take on Led Zeppelin's Kashmir with special guest Kanika Moore. There's also Frank Zappa's cover of the Allman Brothers Band classic Whipping Post going up against Government Mule's rendition of the Pink Floyd gem, Wish You Were Here. Additionally, Billy String's cover of the Grateful Dead's Wharf Rat takes on My Morning Jacket's cover of Prince's Purple Rain. And Green Sky Bluegrass's cover of Bruce Springsteen's Atlantic City goes up against Fish's cover of Stevie Wonder's Boogie On Reggae Woman. Head to jambase.com to check out the competitors and to get your votes in. The return of live music seems to be getting closer as more vaccines are distributed and COVID numbers trend downwards. Be sure to track your favorite acts on Jambase to stay on top of all the announcements. Government Mule, Dinosaur Jr., Dark Star Orchestra, Goose, The Wood Brothers, and Billy Strings are just a few of the acts that have recently announced tours or runs. While lineup announcements have come from such festivals as Hogs for the Cause, Life is Beautiful, The Workout, Summer Camp, and Orange Blossom Review. Now getting back to Luke Miller, aka Luke the Knife, I spoke with Luke via video chat earlier this month. Miller filled us in on how life has been for him during the pandemic. He used the opportunity to record Disco Nap, his debut solo album, which comes under the Luke the Knife moniker. We spoke about Lotus's two socially distanced gigs in September of 2020 and the Livetronica act's upcoming Citrus EP. Luke also tells us about how Citrus came together and how he created Disconap. Miller discusses the many contributors to Disconap, including vocalist Raven Jane, who added to the earwormy Luke the Knife single, Better Mind. He also spoke about a Kickstarter campaign that he put together for Disconap, hinted at a forthcoming concert announcement from Lotus, and shared his take on when he thinks the time will be right to return to the road. Listen to my chat with Luke Miller after we hear a bit of the Lotus classic, Umbilical Moonrise. Everybody, I'm excited to chat with Luke Miller of Lotus. How's it going, Luke?
Considering the circumstances, it's going all right.
And are you in Denver right now?
I am, yes.
And have you been out there for most of the pandemic?
Yes. Right. Only trip I took in the summer, we did a drive-in show out in Philly. So besides that, I've been here in Colorado.
Well, the lot worse places that you can be spending your time, that is for sure.
Absolutely.
So Luke not only has his debut Luke the Knife album, Disconap, coming this spring, but Lotus will release a new EP called Citrus on April 6th. Before we talk about those records, let's go back to a year ago when the pandemic led to a pause in touring. I believe your the last Lotus show before the world went haywire was at the Okeechobee Festival in Florida.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, it feels like a decade ago, but yeah, we played in Okeechobee down in Florida, and there was kind of rumblings, and people were kind of feeling a little weird at the hotel and on the airplane. And then we had a Red Rock show scheduled for April. And I think ours was the first Red Rock show that went down. So it was a disappointing kickoff to the pandemic.
No doubt. And do you remember when you left the stage at Okeechobee? Did you have any thought in your mind, well, this could be it for a while?
I don't remember at Okeechobee, but what I do remember is one of my younger brother's birthdays is at the end of February. And I specifically remember talking to my other brother, who is a science teacher. And we had heard about this virus in China. And, just being a biologist, he had studied this stuff and we were just talking about it. And we were both of the opinion that there was no way that this thing was going to be stopped. I didn't know it would last this long, but yeah. I knew it was coming.
Absolutely. And at least we're starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel. How have you kept creative during the pandemic?
So you mentioned the Luke the Knife album. It's something I've been wanting to do for a long time. I started Luke the Knife maybe 7-8 years ago. Always with the idea of recording my own original material, besides just DJing other people's stuff. And I just never quite got around to it. And I had actually started some originals for this debut album in December 2019. And so I kind of like kicked that into gear and kicked some more Lotus writing into gear. But I also had to like take a mental break from music for a little bit too. So it was a mix of both.
Sure. And what's a typical day like for you now as we're hopefully towards the end of the pandemic?
Currently I'm helping my dad out with some stuff, but if I'm at home working on music, it's I kind of treat it like a 9-to-5. I get up and I just eat breakfast and like crack into it and work as long as I feel creative on it. And then I usually stop in the early evening.
And you had mentioned that the one time that you did leave Denver was for a Lotus Plate Drive-In concert in Philadelphia outside of Citizens Bank Park. How was your experience with that particular show?
I mean, it was mixed. It was good to play, and especially because we had just come out with Free Swim. So we played a lot of those songs, and they really felt, they didn't really feel like they needed an incubation period. Like, they came right out of the gate and they felt very, slamming and natural. But, being on the stage, it felt very kind of disconnected from the crowd, and I could see people out there, but it was hard to like make an emotional connection. So it was a little bit like you were playing just to a void out there. Sure. So, it was hard to get the energy back. So it felt a little draining because you couldn't get the energy that I'm used to getting back from the crowd. So yeah, it was not the best, but, it was a good experience, but, if that was the way concerts would always be, I would have to maybe, reconsider a lot of things about what a performance is. And, I don't know what different ways to connect.
Absolutely. And you mentioned Free Swim, which was a full-length album that Lotus put out in 2020. And obviously, when you went into that show in Philadelphia, there was the Free Swim material. But how did you guys create, I mean, we're talking one show, you guys have such a big repertoire. How did you go about making a set list for that show?
Well, the first order was, yeah, we wanted to debut at least some of the songs from Free Swim. I didn't want the whole show to be all new material because, you know, when I go to a concert, I always want to see my favorites of the band. So I tried to get a mix. I think we did four or five from Free Swim, and then tried to mix in some just of our classics. I don't know whose opinion that is, but, and then just a couple kind of random ones. So I don't know. It's kind of the same way I always write set lists, is try to get a mix of, new and old and, a little potpourri.
And how much rehearsal time did you guys get before that show?
We just did a day of rehearsal, just kind of, knocked the rust off and just went for it. You know, we've been playing for 21, 22 years. So there's kind of this built up, groove where you can just kind of get into it, and, doesn't take too long.
And then later that month, you played Red Rocks, limited capacity show at Red Rocks.
Extremely limited. Yeah. 200 people.
Was that any better in terms of the energy?
It absolutely was. I don't know what the difference was, if it was like the not non-cars or something, but like you could really see the people, and it was a really cold night, even though it was in the summer. It was one of those Colorado nights that just gets really cold, but people were just dancing their asses off, and it was a lot of fun. It was definitely weird seeing Red Rocks with that few of people, but everyone there was so stoked that it really lent a good energy.
Very nice. Yeah, I would imagine seeing the people rather than seeing cars would certainly help provide a better energy for both sides of the performers and the fans.
Yeah.
Lotus pulled off a virtual tour earlier this year, featuring archival video broadcasts. How did you go about picking the shows that were featured?
So that was all Jesse, our bass player. He
was also your brother, correct?
He is my brother. Yes. He's my twin brother. He did all the work on that. He did all the audio editing, all the video editing, and picked all the shows. So I think the main thing was just we don't film every show. So there was definitely a limited amount of things to pick from. So I think it was kind of just going with what we had filmed and then, seeing of those, which were the best.
Did you watch any of the shows?
I personally didn't. I just, I don't know. It's just still being in the pandemic. It's a little hard for me to kind of sit down and enjoy that from a good perspective. So yeah,
that's fair. I totally can understand that. So let's discuss Citrus. I love the EP and had a hard time sitting still while listening to it. And it's got a different feel than Free Swim. But what I love about both albums, or the album and the EP, is that there's that signature Lotus sound at the heart of it. My understanding is that you recorded the batch of songs that yielded Free Swim and Citrus during the same sessions.
Yeah, we did a just a quick session. It was like a 5-day studio session, and we knocked out I want to say 18 or 19 songs. So I think 10 of those were on Free Swim. We kind of picked the ones that we felt worked the best together for Free Swim, and then there was these, I think it's 7 that are on Citrus. And then there's one other that we're kind of using for a new project that we're working on.
Ooh, excellent. Are there any songs in particular on Citrus that you're just are chopping at the bit to play live?
I mean, I think all of them are great. Year of the Jaguar, I think, will be really fun to play live. It's kind of got a psychedelic feel. I don't know. It kind of like reminds me of like what, I don't know. It gives me like a little bit of like a Pink Floyd Through the Lotus Lens vibe. So I think that'll be fun to play live. And, there's, the album, the finishing track is kind of this like slow, mellow ballad. And I think that while it's not necessarily like a live banger, I think that might be a cool, like relaxing song to, perform.
Palate cleanser, if you will.
Yeah.
Now you talked about how with Free Swim you found the tracks that worked best together. Is there a thread with the Citrus songs?
I get not a didactic thread. Only in the sense of like when Jesse and I were writing the songs, just kind of what ideas we had in mind. We wanted it to be like that. The kind of the idea of Free Swim was to just open it up a little bit and be, a little looser with the, styles. So sure. This is kind of the detritus from that session. So it is a little bit, eclectic, but, like you said, I think there is that whatever that, ineffable Lotus sound that kind of connects them.
And my favorite track is the title track. What is the instrument at the beginning of the title track?
So that is a kora. I mean, it's not a real kora. It's, I used a sample that I played on the keyboard, but yeah, it's a Malian stringed instrument. And it gives it that cool kind of twangy, not out of tune, but like slightly off kilter sound.
And I love how then the guitar comes in and echoes that melody. It really works well.
Yeah. That, another thing we were trying to do with the Free Swim and this album was to, for me and Jesse to kind of collaborate a little bit more. And so with Citrus in particular, he had the idea in kind of the jam section, it switches from a 4-4 beat into this 12-8 thing. So it kind of has like a triplet switch on top of it. And that was his idea. And I thought that was a really smart, switch up in the middle of that song.
And did you think that when you put out Free Swim, was the idea always to follow with another collection of songs, or was this kind of birthed out of the pandemic?
Oh, I always figured that we would release them. We didn't really have a plan on what that collection would look like, if it would be all at once or, you know, released here and there. But I think this is a great way to put it out. And I think there's a lot of great songs on here that I think people are going to really dig.
Absolutely. And Jambase had the pleasure of premiering Condor. So that was awesome for us. And I like that you're previewing it with a new song every Tuesday in March before the EP comes out in April.
Yeah, I think that'll be a good way to give people something to look forward to every week.
Absolutely. We could all use that, especially during these times. Now for Luke the Knife, you mentioned that project dates back maybe 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, I think around 2012 was when I started just learning how to DJ and putting mixes together, and started performing some shows pretty quickly after that. And then, I've been writing Lotus songs for a long time, but it was kind of interesting switching into the Luke the Knife mode for writing, because it's almost, you have to switch your brain just because the structures are different for DJ tracks than for band songs. So that took me a second just to kind of turn that over. But once I got rolling, I really was able to churn out a lot of material pretty quick.
And you started on it towards the end of 2019. But would you say the bulk of it was recorded this year? Or yeah. Not last year, in 2020?
Yeah. I think I wrote... I started off, and the original idea was to kind of do a more disco funk with house kind of sound. And I had written a whole album of that. I finished that in the fall, and I was listening to it a bunch, and there was a couple songs I felt weren't quite up to snuff. So then I wrote a whole nother thing. I was like, well, maybe I'll do a disco funk album, and I'll do like a more house straight up electronic album. So then I wrote another album that was like straight up electronic. And at the end of the day, I decided just to pick the best from both of those and make that the debut album.
Very cool. And the first single, Better Mind, is so earwormy. I mean, it's still stuck in my head over a month after the first time I listened to it. And I thought Raven Jane does a great job of singing the track. Can you tell us how that song came together?
Yeah, so Better Mind is a based on a traditional gospel song, You Better Mind. So the recording I was kind of going off was this Bessie Smith version that, do you know Alan Lomax, like the guy that used to go around?
Field recordings?
Exactly, yeah. So he had this field recording of Bessie Smith, and just doing it by herself, just, I don't know where, probably in her own house or something. And, you know, it started off in maybe one key, it went down like three half steps by the end of the song, 'cause she didn't have any instruments with her, but I was kind of messing around with that. And, I wrote new chords for it and kind of made it into a little bit of a more, pop friendly structure. And then at the end of the day, the Bessie Smith vocals just weren't of a high enough quality from the recording, that 'cause I had to like squeeze the pitch and the tempo to get it working. So my friend Rachel, aka Raven Jane, I thought of her immediately because she has this very rich, like gospel sounding voice, and she came in and nailed it right away. You better mind.
There are other contributors on Disco Nap. Can you talk about some of the other musicians that added?
Yeah, Chalk Dinosaur is out of Pittsburgh, John O'Halloran, and he's just an amazing musician. He plays every instrument, and he contributed talkbox and synth and guitar on a couple tracks. I've got a house track with Cherub doing vocals on it. And let's see, I've got Gabe Otto played bass on Better Mind.
And Gabe has a history with Lotus. He contributed to your Talking Heads sets.
Yeah, he was the David Byrne in our Talking Heads sets, and he sang on a couple tracks on our Eat the Light album.
Right.
And then the only other collaborator on Disco Nap was Eric Levine, played trumpet.
And was your brother involved at all?
So he has an analog studio at his house. So he did some of the final mixing just to run it through some of the analog gear.
And I take it with working with all these contributors during the pandemic, it was all done remotely?
Raven Jane, she lives in town here, so she came over, but the rest were all remote, yeah.
And in a case like Cherub, did you give any notes before the recording?
So that was actually an old song that that they had recorded for a Lotus track that we didn't end up using. So I ended up remixing it into this Luke the Knife track. So it was kind of a vocal performance. It was really good. They had just been kind of sitting around in a different context, and I just flipped it.
Sure. Very cool. You did a Kickstarter campaign for Disco Nap. And as of today, there's about 7 days left, and you've doubled the goal that you originally set out. How has your experience with that platform been?
Yeah, it was pretty good. I had never used it before. I didn't know totally what to expect. I read up some on it a little bit to try to get some strategies and stuff, but overall it was pretty smooth. And like you said, the support has been great thus far. And, hopefully money that's been raised will help me really give this debut album a proper launch. 'Cause sometimes, you know, you work so hard on music and you can just pop it up on SoundCloud and it feels like you're throwing a drop of water in the ocean, you know, it just kind of disappears in the ether. So I didn't want that to happen with the debut album. So I'm hoping I can give it a good proper release and get it out there. And like you said, I think there's some good earworms on there. And I want as many people to hear it as possible.
Absolutely. And I'm glad that we're able to help spread the word on that. And you also made a video, a great introduction video. can you tell us about that?
So yeah, I had this idea to do a kind of a fake cooking show where the food was the different parts of the music. So I set it up in my house and did it real quick. And our buddy Sam Silkworth, who does a lot of concert photography for us, came and shot it. And it was one of those things that actually turned out how it was in my head. That almost never happened. So it was kind of a fun little thing to put together, a show that, I don't know, show my humorous side, I guess.
Excellent. I think you did a job well done on that.
Thanks.
We're getting to the point in 2021 where the number of vaccines given is growing exponentially. The COVID numbers, knock on wood, are going down. How will you decide when the time is right to return to the road?
I think it's more of it's less in my hands and more in the promoters and venues' hands. But yeah, like you said, it seems like it's really starting to turn the corner, and we got some stuff cooking that hasn't been announced yet, but should be announced pretty soon. That it'll be a fun way to end the pandemic hiatus.
Excellent. How often do you talk with your bandmates?
I talk with Jesse a lot, just as far as like composing tracks and stuff. But some of the other guys, not as frequently. We kind of just live our own lives, and we've been together for so long. It's nice to have separate worlds that you can go back to when you're not on the road and kind of just do your own thing.
Absolutely. And as you said, there are some announcements coming. Is there anything else that's on the way in 2021 that you can discuss besides the album and the EP?
Well, and I know we're releasing a lot of music, but we're actually going into the studio to start recording our next album. So always churning away on more music. So I'm pretty sure 2021 will have another full-length Lotus album.
Excellent. Well, we love your prolific ways and keep it up and really stay safe. And thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us. And we look forward to Disco Nap coming out. And as I mentioned, Citrus, the Lotus EP is due at the beginning of April. So thanks Luke for taking the time to talk with us.
No, absolutely. Anytime. And I really appreciate Jambase's support over the years. And I personally use Jambase as my concert calendar when there are concerts. And everybody at the site has always been very supportive of Lotus. And we really do appreciate it.
Thank you very much. It's this having a member of the band on the Jambase podcast was a long time coming, and I was really looking forward to this, and you didn't disappoint. So thank you very much, Luke.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Scott.
That's it for episode 79 of the Jambase podcast. We're taking a little break, but we've got a huge surprise in store when we return, so stay tuned. Thanks to Luke Miller for taking the time to chat with us, and thanks to Jake Rubenstein for producing this episode. The theme music comes from Clangin' and Bangin'. We appreciate all of our listeners, and we'll be ever so grateful if you subscribe to the Jambase podcast through your favorite podcast service. Leave us a review if you can, and take care out there. The opportunity arises to do so safely. Go see live music.